Excellent. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Once you find 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look for verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. And then we can stand together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to start with verse number 8, and I'm going to read all the way through verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Here we go. It says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." That's the passage of Scripture that we'll use tonight. As you know, for over 30 weeks now, we've been talking about the subject of growing in the Christian life. Tonight, we're going to talk about that subject again. The title tonight is Growing Your Ability to Overcome Obstacles. Growing Your Ability to Overcome Obstacles. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help us, Lord. Help us to grow. Help us tomorrow to be more qualified and more capable to grow than today, and as a result of being in church and as a result of what's taught and said here tonight. God, to each one of us, no matter what our age, we face obstacles. And I pray, Lord, that we would use the teaching and the preaching tonight to better ourselves so Jesus might be glorified. Might our families be better because of the sermon. Might our church be better. Might our country be better. Help us, Lord, to grow and be able to better face and go around the obstacles that could hinder our success, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. The passage of Scripture tonight describes the Apostle Paul's situation. Paul suffered an awful lot at this point in his life. Paul said, if you were listening there, he said, "I'm troubled on every side." You say, what does that mean? I mean, he turned to the right, and there was something that had the ability to trouble him. He turned to his left, and there was something troubling him over there as well. He looked in front of himself, and there was something troubling him there. If he would have wanted to escape it, he turned around and said, "Oh no, there's something back there as well." He said, "I am troubled on every side." In other words, he faced hardship. He looked up, and I don't mean to Jesus. I mean, maybe he looked up the ladder of leadership, and he said, "I'm troubled as I look up, and I look down, and I'm troubled, but on every side." He faced obstacles to the right, obstacle to the left, obstacle out front, obstacle behind him. Maybe something that was leading him was an obstacle, and something that was following him tended to be an obstacle. And then he said this, he used the words, he said, "I'm perplexed. And you say, well, what does that mean? I'm not sure. But I would say this. Probably means that he didn't totally understand why he had those obstacles. Maybe he looked to the right and he said, "Now, I understand that one, but this one over here has got me perplexed." Maybe he didn't see the reason. Look, when you're going through difficulties, sometimes it's confusing. And you ever have something happen to you and it disorients you. It's like a bomb going off. And you say, "Wow, you're shell-shocked." Well, he said, "I'm troubled on every side, and it's got me a little perplexed. I'm not understanding it all." Then he used the word persecuted as he's describing his situation. Maybe he was persecuted by his family. Maybe he was persecuted by his so-called friends. Maybe he was persecuted when he was involved secularly. As you know, Paul was a very, very successful man in the secular arena. And you can be dead sure if you're a true old-time religion Christian and you're involved in the secular arena, you are going to be persecuted at one time or another. Maybe he was persecuted by his neighbors. I don't know how many of you have ever done any boxing or fighting, but I've boxed just enough and got hit just enough times to know what it feels like to be a little disoriented. You ever got, especially if you get one right in the nose, or as we would call it, right in the snout. Boy, if you take one right in the nose, it can just cause you to get a little dizzy. And I think Paul said, I got hit from the right, I got hit from the left, I got hit from out front, I got hit from the back. I was a little perplexed who was hitting me and where all these punches were coming from. But he said, I just felt it coming on me. Then he said, I'm cast down. Those are the words he looked at. I can't explain to you everything that cast down means, but maybe he was saying, I feel like people are looking down on me. Maybe he's saying others seem to have it out to get me, and I'm not real sure. And maybe he's just saying my spirit's down. I'm down. So he's been troubled on every side and perplexed about all of this. He is persecuted. He feels cast down. And so now, Paul, you understand, Paul, before salvation, they called him Saul. Before salvation, he was a God-hater. He had Christians put to death. He was a troublemaker. And thank God he got saved. But let me tell you, he was. It's very obvious he was going through a tough time now, in his saved life. He struggled. I don't know if you all realize it, but I believe Paul probably struggled with glaucoma. And back then, couldn't go down and get laser surgery. He could not see well. In the scripture, you'll hear Paul say, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you." And you say, well, he's talking about writing a very long letter. No, I think he's talking about how large the letters were when he wrote. You take a kindergartner and you give them a pencil, and that pencil's about this long and it's about that big around, and they rest it on their shoulder and they go, A, B. That's what Paul's letters look like. He had to write large because Paul could not see well. And that's why he would say, you see how large a letter I've written unto you. So here's a man that is struggling to see. He's troubled on every side. He's perplexed about it. He's being persecuted. He feels cast down. Before salvation, he had been a troublemaker out in the world, and he was virtually the enemy of Christianity. Now he's introducing himself around the Christian circles, and most of them see Paul coming and saying, run! That's the Christian killer. And he's got to explain, I'm not going to kill you. I want to help you. And they're saying, yeah, sure. We've seen what happened when Stephen was stoned. And we know who you are. That's what he's facing. And he struggles with partial blindness. I also believe this, and I would agree. I studied a lot about Paul because I think, other than Jesus Christ, he's the greatest leader of the New Testament. But I think Paul probably had, he may have had epilepsy. I think he may have had some seizures. You say, why? Well, every time he walked into town, they beat the stuffings out of him. He didn't check into a hotel. He went down, took his luggage, and left it at the jail. He knew that's where they're going to put him eventually. But you know, you get thumped in the head often enough, you'll begin to act a little different, at least. But I think there's some chance that he had some form of seizures, that some type of an illness had probably been brought on him going through all the abuse. And then Paul said this. He said, I've worked night and day. Now, there's some of you have no concept what that means because you've never worked night and day. I'm serious. In this generation, there are just some people that you have no idea what it's like to put in 20-hour days and get 3 hours worth of sleep and just do it year after year after year after year. And you can thank God that somebody worked hard enough to make this nation the successful nation it is. Because if this nation today was built on the character of this generation, it'd be one of the puniest nations on the face of the earth. That's all free. Let's get back to the sermon. Don't tick me off like that, folks. Don't. But he had worked night and day. Then he talked about being shipwrecked. Now, that really bothers me because it shipwrecks, they're sharks, and I don't like sharks. And And so, but this guy facing shipwreck, and he's talking about, I've just worked and worked and worked. He was put in jail for God. And might I also say, this is a very successful man. This isn't some Johnny come lately that didn't know anything and had never done anything. And this guy's successful. He was very well educated. He could have done anything with his life. He really could have. So he is facing all of this now. And listen, all of this basically came upon him after he started serving God. So if you say, well, I'll tell you what, I started serving God and I started having trials, I'll tell you why. Because the devil comes along and he wants to stop you from succeeding for Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, you say, all these obstacles, must be something wrong. No, must be something right. If everything is going totally smooth for you, that's when I'd worry. The devil's going to oppose. These are obstacles in the life of Paul. Obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. I do want to point something out to you. When I was reading to you there from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, listen to this. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Then he said, we're perplexed, but not in despair. You notice what happens? Every time the obstacle hits, Paul says, got around it, got over it. He said, persecuted, but not forsaken. He said, cast down, but not destroyed. Huh. Obstacle come up against Paul, or Paul up against an obstacle. He's seen the obstacle, and here's what you would have done. You would have stopped. Paul said, obstacle, but I'll get around it. Obstacle, I'm going over it. Obstacle, I'll go under it. Obstacles don't equal stop signs. I have a friend, I won't mention his name, but I have a friend who used to work at a Christian ranch in Missouri. It was a 3,000-acre ranch. It had been set up, and it became a retreat for married couples, and they hosted teenage camps at it. And they would bring the teenagers in, and this friend of mine was the activities director at that ranch. They had a huge barn. And I'm not talking about a barn that could handle a couple of little tractors. I'm talking about a huge barn where you could park 100 tractors in it. It was a big old honking barn. And it was his job to take that barn and inside it to turn it into an obstacle course. Well, he was just the man for the job because he'd been in the Marines and he understood obstacle courses. And so he took this great big barn. And my family and I, my kids might remember this, we went and we visited that ranch. And we went and we got to see the obstacle course that he had built. Now, he was so proud of it. He was like a mad scientist. He would stay up at night inventing tortures and challenges for the teenagers when they came to camp. So when they ran that long obstacle course, they were challenged by it. Oh, there was a big, tall, high rope to climb. And you'd be shocked at how many kids wouldn't even climb the rope. They wouldn't even get on it to even try. But there was a big, high rope to climb. Then they had to run through some tires like you would in football training, lifting your legs real high. Then they had to scale a wall, and then they had to climb a ladder that was made of net. They're always running, jumping over hurdles, going through tunnels and crawling and walking across telephone poles. And there was a section of it where it was muddy and wet and just challenge after challenge. And I remember he and I were talking about it. He told me this. He said, it's my goal that you can't finish it. He said, it's my goal to do everything I could to slow a person down, to make it hard so they would quit. He said, I loved it when they quit. Because and I said, why? He said, because in chapel we'd call them babies and sissies. And he said, it just made it fun. He said, I tried to come up with things that would scare them. And you know, I thought, yeah, this, they picked the right guy to make this thing. Now, I'm a dad. When we were there, I my goal was that obstacle course, if my boys got on it, I wanted it to strengthen them. I wanted them to learn from it. I wanted to train them and to prepare them. Hey, any of you that ever been in the military that went through an obstacle course, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They're trying to make some of it extremely hard, and it's wet, and it's dry, and you're low, and you're high, and you've got to climb, and you've got to run, and you've got to jump, and you've got to take chances, and you've got to face something that you don't think you can face. You say it's too hard, it's too hot, it's too high. Yes, that's exactly what a good obstacle course is going to do to you. I wanted it to train and prepare my kids. I didn't want my boys to quit on the obstacle course. Folks, you know something? My friend is a little bit like the devil. Because the devil is taking our course in life and he's placing obstacles on our course of life. You know what your Heavenly Father wants? Your Heavenly Father wants you to finish the course. Your Heavenly Father wants you to learn from the course. Your Heavenly Father wants you to prosper while you're on that course. Your Heavenly Father, you're on the course and the obstacles come, but He wants you to be toughened up because of that obstacle course. Matter of fact, the obstacle course was not there to destroy you. It was there to make you and prepare you to do more. You know, when you're in the military and they put you on the obstacle course, you might feel like your commanding officer, maybe your drill sergeant, you might think he's thinking, I hope they die, I hope they don't make it. And some of them come across that way. But when it was created and that obstacle course was created, that's someone trying to grow you and protect you and to push you and to show you, hey, you're going to come up against some things in life. And I'll tell you what some of you need. Some of you need, when I think of a drill sergeant, I always think of Sergeant Carter off of Gomer Pyle. And I can just see Gomer now trying to climb or scale a wall, and he's hung up there, and Sergeant Carter at the bottom saying, move, 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 Pyle, get over that thing, go, go, go. You know what some of you need? You need somebody to say to you, get going. You come to an obstacle, an obstacle is not a stop sign. Did you hear what Paul said? He said, I came up against this, but got around it. And then Paul said, and then I faced this, but went around the other way. Then I faced this, but I got over it. The Apostle Paul in that passage of Scripture was saying, every obstacle that came my way, I let it make me, not break me. Every obstacle that I faced, it might have slowed me down for a moment, but I got my momentum and I got around it, I got over it, I got behind it, but I did not let it stop me. I went on and had the victory. The Apostle Paul went through some pretty tough times. A lot of obstacles, but he didn't quit. Folks, let's not quit while we're on the course of life. If there's some obstacles thrown out there, let's keep on going. Just for a little while, let me apply that thought to our lives. Let's grow in regard to overcoming the obstacles of life. Let me say, first of all, your obstacles are meant to make you better. They're there for your good. You say, but wonder if it came from the devil. Well, God has a way of taking the negative obstacle of the devil and turning it around and getting something good out of it for God. Sure, you're going to get obstacles. You're going to get some from the devil. But might I say, I think you're going to get some from God too. Now, God means the obstacle to better you or for your good. God is trying to make you into something better. God is not trying to destroy you with obstacles. He's trying to make you stronger with obstacles. You must go around or through or over your obstacle to get the victory. Now, I wish we could see life the way God sees it. You and I, we get so caught up in today. But you do realize there is a future, and God intended for you to go through the obstacle of today and get to the victory of tomorrow. So first of all, remember this, your obstacle is there for your good. And I'm talking about a variety, and I'll explain them a little more in detail in a moment, but I'm talking about a variety of obstacles. I'm talking about good obstacles or bad obstacles or God-sent obstacles or devil-sent obstacles. But let me say, the obstacle, if it's in your life, God wants good to come from that obstacle being in your life. Number two, don't let the devil scare you off of the course. Don't let the devil scare you off of the course. I watched people who went to the beginning of that obstacle course that my mad scientist ex-Marine friend, I'm sorry, there's no such thing as an ex-Marine, that Marine who had built that obstacle course, I was standing there, I would watch, I preached camp there more than one time, I watched teenagers staring at that barn, at that obstacle course, and I watched some of them go over and sit in the bleachers and said, I'm not doing it. Now let me tell you all something. I watch a lot of Christians just sit down in a pew and say, I'm not in. I'll sit here and watch, preacher. Hey, I'll watch people do something for God, but I'll listen. I'll listen to you give the instructions on how to do something for God, but I'm not doing anything. I'm not getting in. Listen to me. Don't let the devil scare you off the course. I watch people that won't even start. Let's start. Don't just stare at the course. Get involved. Get started. I would rather start and fail than to have never started. You know, to me, and you remember that I told you about the big high rope that they had to climb, and it was thick. It wasn't a puny rope. It was a thick rope. And I remember watching two boys at that obstacle course talking about that rope. And I watched one say, I'm not climbing the rope. I'm not climbing the rope. He went over and sat down. The other one said, I'll try. He got about halfway up. He got scared. He let his grip loose a little. He slid down almost like a cartoon. You could hear it just burning his hands up. And, you know, there's flames coming off his hands. He hits a sawdust. And people are laughing at him. I see his buddy laughing at him. You know which one I wanted to laugh at? I would laugh at the one that was sitting in the pew that never tried, and I wanted to cheer for the one that tried that got the rope burns. And listen, in life, if you're not careful, you'll get the idea the obstacle was for your bad, you're wrong, it was for your good, and you got to make sure you don't let the devil scare you from getting involved because of the potential of the obstacle. Now, let me give you some things that maybe could be our obstacles. For instance, and all of these, you basically find them in that passage of Scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. How about the obstacle of a sinful past? That could be an obstacle to you. Paul was a God-hater before his salvation. Did that stop Paul? No. He was a Christian killer. He was a wicked politician. He persecuted the church. Now that could have stopped Paul when God said, Paul, I want you to get on a course for me in life. Paul could have said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You want me to go to the church where I used to drag people out by their hair and kill them? And you want me to go and you want me to minister to them? He could have said, oh, that's too big of an obstacle. But Paul did not let that happen. Remember how the scripture is written there. Paul said, I was persecuted. Thank God for the conjunction, he said, but it didn't stop me. And folks, you say, I've got a bad past. I've got a sinful past. Don't let that stop you. Say, I used to be an alcoholic. Don't let that stop you. I used to be a drug addict. Don't let that stop you. You said, I was immoral in my past. Don't let that stop you. You say, I was a thief in my past. Don't let that stop you. Don't use your past as a stop sign, or don't let your past be an obstacle that keeps you from serving God. But secondly, and I'm talking about the sins of your past. And I meet people all the time that say, you know, preacher, I was just so wicked. I don't see how God could ever use me. And they're still sitting in the pew. I mean, they're not living a wild lifestyle anymore. They just sit there and watch everything. Somehow the devil's gotten into their head that they're never going to be used of God because of what they did years ago. And I've got news for you. If God can use a Paul who was killing Christians and used him within months after that behavior, God saved him, cleaned him up, and said, I'm going to use you. God can use you. But then secondly, the obstacle, not of sins of the past, but more current sins. You know, let me tell you a story. The Apostle Paul insisted in his writings of the New Testament, he insisted that they not be loyal to some of what we would call the Old Testament rituals that were laid out in the law. You go to the New Testament and he'll say that those laws are of the past and those laws are past and gone and Jesus has died and been buried and resurrected and put some of those laws behind you. But you know what Paul did? Now get this. He went around preaching everywhere that some of that law was Old Testament and no longer necessary. But then one day, Paul, in an effort to persuade some Jewish people, took an Old Testament vow with them, which is the very thing he had preached against. I think he humiliated himself a little bit. He said, yeah, all right, if y'all want me to get involved in that, I'll do it. And I'm trying to win these people over. And let me tell you all something. You don't go drinking with your old drinking buddies trying to win them over. You don't go partying with your old party buddies to try to win them over. There's a better way to do it than that. And I think Paul very sincerely ends up taking a vow that he used to preach against. Now, that's a more recent, can I say, maybe even a sin of Paul's. Is it okay? Is it possible that Paul sinned? Okay. So, now, he's got to, you understand that after he took that vow, he probably had to go somewhere and preach a couple days later. Ah, that could get you. When you do something stupid on Friday, and you sin on Friday, and you got to show up to church on Sunday, you're liable to show up feeling, you know, you'll be in the mully grubs, lower than a snake's belly. But let me tell you something. If you'll ask God to forgive you, that sin of recent does not have to be a forever obstacle. Paul had, and see, it's easy for us to say, well, you know what Paul used to be? Well, he used to be a corrupt politician, and Paul used to be a murderer, and Paul used to, and they were consenting unto the death of Christians. But wait a minute, there was also a time when Paul was a Christian that Paul did some things that were pretty dumb too. And I would say that Paul would have said this, he could add to, I was perplexed, I was cast down, he could also say, I was a sinner. But, I got it right, and I didn't stop. I kept going. Folks, listen. Claim God's forgiveness and keep on going. Now, listen. I'm not going to tell you that you can go out and commit sin and do anything you want, and then you can do whatever you want in the church. It doesn't work that way. There are times when there'll be discipline, and there are times when you will disqualify yourself for a time of doing certain things. But let me tell you something. There's too many times we say, the sins of my past are stopping me. Don't let that happen. Hey, the sins of my present are stopping me. Don't let that happen. If you got to sit on the sideline for a few weeks, okay, sit on the sideline. But don't stop there. Keep your heart in the game and say, you know what? I'm going to have a timeout. I'm going to sit on the sideline for a week or two, but I'll get back in there. Obstacles. Obstacles in the Christian life. We've got to, the obstacles, you know, the devil throws the obstacles out there for what? He wants you to quit. He wants to scare you. He wants to slow you down so you're unproductive. The obstacles are there not to stop you, but to make you stronger. Thirdly, how about the obstacles that health problems bring? Now, Paul, I think he had epilepsy. I think he had blindness. I know he had fevers. I know he had some sort of chronic illness. But you know what happened? Paul kept going. Most everybody in here that ever quotes anybody on the New Testament about being faithful to God's house are quoting the Apostle Paul, who from all I can tell is probably the sickest man in the New Testament. You say, keep on going! It was Paul, a sick man, that was saying that. It was a man that could hardly see. It was a man that, and in a little while you'll see, he was weary, he was tired, he was beat up. Listen, I think there are people that are not well. And I think that they are limited in what they can do. But let me say to everybody in here, you need to make sure you're cautious to eat right. You need to make sure you're cautious to exercise. You better take care of your body. What happens is, so many times, We self-inflict illnesses. Then we let them stop us from serving God. Now listen, whether it's a self-inflicted illness or it just came upon you, do everything you can not to let that stop you from going forward for God. Hey, I don't want someone to do something that's going to hurt their body and attempt to serve God. But I'll tell you, so many times we quit way too soon. We quit way. Now listen, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but did you know I've come to church with my toe hurting before? You know what I figured out? My toe hurts. Well, and there's nothing I can do to keep it from hurting. Well, it's going to hurt at home. Or I could come to church and it could hurt at church. You know what I'll do? I'll go to church and let it hurt at church. I preached almost 37,000 sermons. Many of them with headaches. Bad headaches. I've preached. I've stepped off the platform to go throw up, to come back in and finish my sermon. Some of you say, I'd throw up every time we leave church after one of your sermons. I don't know what the preacher's job is, but I think part of what the preacher's supposed to do is to make sure people don't let obstacles stop them. Now look, if you've got some disease and you're going to spread it all over the church and you're hacking and snotting and blowing smoke from both ends, we can't let you bring it all and spread it all over the church. But I am going to tell you this, there are people that are looking for ways to stay out instead of people looking for ways to stay in. And I see the obstacle of health with the Apostle Paul. I see he had that. Now, I want you to use good sense. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. But my issue is not trying to calm down the valiant people. The big issue is firing up some of the people that are looking for excuses not to be faithful to God and using their health to do it. The obstacles. The obstacle of a sinful past. The obstacle of a recent sin. The obstacle of health problems. How about the obstacle of weariness? Weariness. If you listen to the scripture earlier, Paul said, well, I'm weary. He said that. Paul was wore out physically. I think we can have weak bodies. I think we can have weak minds. I think, but let me tell you something. Being tired is good. Being tired is good. And, you know, I'll tell you something. I'll tell people now, stay awake during the preaching. But I will tell you something sincerely from my heart. I know how it feels to work hours and hours and hours and hours and to come to church and finally get to relax for a second and how it could be easy to doze off. And I'll tell you something. I respect people that have worked so hard. They're tired and they're weary sitting in church. I respect that. Now, those of you that all you do is lay around and you can't stay awake, you got issues. You tell me how many hours you put in and you're still falling asleep all the time in church. You got a problem. But I'll tell you what, you say, preacher, you get upset when I nod off of that. No, I respect it when you do. I'd like for you to wake up every once in a while, catch a little something I'm saying. You can make it. The Apostle Paul said, I'm weary. Weary people, I believe weary people are fulfilled people. Weary people are making their way. And I sure appreciate that. Hey, you ladies, you say, my husband's always tired. You ought to thank God you got a tired husband. I really mean it. And you young ladies who don't have a husband, find one that's a tired man. That means he's been working and working hard and he's not making up excuses in life. And respect that and thank God for it. But could I tell you something? I think you probably ought to keep serving God when you're tired too. Keep serving God. Now, if you're tired from doing nothing, and so you know, doing nothing will make you tired because it makes your body lazy. Makes your body lazy. And you just want more of the same. But you know, some people are truly wore down and you can make it. But be careful that you are not so tired all the time that you have no time for God. You can't read your Bible. You don't pray. You only come to church half the time because you're tired. You know something? There are other people that are tired too that are faithful. And some of you were not reared in an atmosphere where somebody had maybe what it took to say what I'm saying to you, and I'm really not afraid to say it, as you can see. I say to you, hey, weariness is an obstacle, not a stop sign. Your sinful past is an obstacle, not a stop sign. The sin that God just helped to get you out of, it's an obstacle, not a stop sign. Your health problem is an obstacle. It's not supposed to be a stop sign. That your weariness, it's an obstacle, not to be a stop sign. Your trials in life, they're obstacles. It's not supposed to be a stop sign. You heard the old saying, when it rains, it pours. Now here in our town, we can figure that out. Those of you that are new to the area, when it rains and it really wants to rain hard, I'd stay out of it. It'll dent your head in. The Apostle Paul suffered shipwreck more than one time, thrown in jail for serving God, bitten by poisonous snake and lived through it. He was left for dead, stoned, imprisoned, all for serving God. But remember how Paul talked. He said, I was persecuted, but I figured out how to get around it. I was cast down, but I got over that one too. Paul understood obstacles. The obstacles made him what he was. It didn't destroy him, didn't stop him. Let me throw this in here. I'll give you one more and then we'll get out of here. Maybe. How about the obstacle of success? He was a well-educated man. He was trained at the feet of Gamaliel. I think he was a very intelligent man. He, uncommon to our day, was a brilliant man in politics. He was a politician. He could have been a success in any secular endeavor. He had respect of everybody in his day. But you know, he didn't let his success keep him from serving God. He didn't let his success go to his head. He didn't let his success cause him to be snooty. He got right in there, and I like it, got right in there and associated with the old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptists and said the old-time religion is the way I'm going to go. He wasn't too intelligent to be associated with the common people, the ones that ran with Jesus, by the way. Listen, could I recommend something to you? Be careful of your success. Did you know your secular success could become an obstacle to serving God? People start businesses. Boy, and if they're Christian, they say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to show up at church. I'm not going to miss anything. Then they start getting successful. And before long, they don't have time for the God that made them successful. I'm glad that the success of Saul, who turned to Paul, did not become an obstacle. He figured out how to even get around his success to serve God. Let me give you a couple general observations. First of all, the greatness of a person is not determined by what they have achieved in life, but rather by the obstacles that they had to overcome to achieve it. An obstacle can be a stepping stone or a stumbling block. The choice is yours. Is your obstacle going to be a stumbling block or a stepping stone? If I could get you to take your obstacle, turn it inside out, and say, the devil planned to destroy me, I'm going to let this make me. The devil wanted to ruin me, I'm going to let this, with God's help, catapult me to something greater in my life. I'll become something that I never would have become, and I'll let this burden be the springboard to let it happen. I've watched people say, you know something? That was done to destroy me. The devil got me involved in that to destroy me. I'll show the devil, by the way, not arrogantly, but with God's help, I'll do better because of it. Again, I think the bigger the obstacles you face in life, probably the greater your potential. Because God brings great obstacles, or the devil brings great obstacles, to those who have the greatest potential in life. The devil's going to bring great obstacles because he's trying to stop you. Look, if you're never going to do anything for God, I doubt that your obstacles are going to be big. Why would the devil waste a bunch of his energy trying to stop somebody that's not going to do anything anyway? So you say, boy, I get hit big. Well, it must be. If the obstacle's from the devil said, I better hit him big. I better hit her big. But wait, if obstacles are to make us, then if God brought the obstacle, the bigger the obstacle, the bigger he's going to make you. So whether the obstacle was from the devil or the obstacle was from our Lord, the bigger the obstacle, the more confident either the devil is that you're going to do something great, or God is that he's preparing you for something great. So if you say, I've faced some big, big burdens, let me tip my hat to you. Let me say to you, congratulations. You're facing a lot of health issues or financial reversals or difficulties or heartbreaks. Hey, congratulations. God has something big for you to do. But here's what some do. They put their tail between their legs and run. I'm not climbing that rope. It'd be hard. Well, you give me the guy that climbs halfway up and ends up with rope burns and also gets a scar on his ego from falling. I'd rather have a fallen soldier than a guy that took his draft card and ran off to Canada any day of the week. Give me the guy that tries. And I think God feels that way too. So, the greatness of a person is not determined by what they achieve in life, but by rather the obstacle that they had to overcome to achieve it. To some, an obstacle equals a stop sign. To others, an obstacle is something to strengthen them. It's something to go around, go over, or plow right through it. Listen to the scripture one time and we're done. This is what Paul said. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He said, I came to the obstacle, but wait. Didn't stop there. I got around it. That's how you're to do it. Stay on course. Stay on course. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. There are children, there are teenagers. There are young adults, there are middle-aged adults and senior citizens in this room. Let me say to everybody in here, learn to go through your course of life and don't let the obstacles stop you. There's some of you that the smallest obstacle hits you and you just, you're out of whack. You're on the sideline. Keep on going for God. Who here tonight could say to God, God, there's something about the sermon tonight, and I'm going to let it make a difference in my life. I'm going to let it make a difference in my life. God's spoken to my heart tonight. Would you raise your hand and say, I'm going to let that obstacle stop me. I'll try again. Get up. Try again. Whatever it is. God bless you. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Get on your knees. Maybe somebody just needs to really take a serious moment with God and say, you know what, God? I'm facing a couple obstacles. I am not going to let them stop me. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and her eyes closed. Teenager, children, adult, I'm not going to let the obstacle be a stop sign. I am amazed at what little obstacles cause people to run and hide. It wasn't given to you so you could go take shelter. It was given to you so you could figure out how to get around it. The obstacles of life. Ushers, if you'll prepare the prayer sheets. Let's grow our ability to conquer the obstacles of life. That obstacle was not given as a stopping point. It was given maybe to build you, to grow you, to strengthen you. Thank you, Mrs. Young.